Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the season. This season, we go deep into our case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders with the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our coach case study library, which includes case study summaries, transcripts of each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. Today, we're exploring the impactful coaching journey undertaken by Jathan Janov with a CFO known for her brilliance, but challenged by her communication style. Through innovative coaching methods and targeted role-playing, Jathan guided her from being perceived as abrasive to becoming an exemplar of effective leadership communication. Join us as we go deep into the strategies that facilitated this significant change, offering insights into the power of coaching and in reshaping leadership dynamics.
The client was an architect firm that employed this CFO and wanted to keep her. Because she was great at her job. But on the other hand, it continued to hear complaints about the abrasive behavior. And so the head of HR attended a program on executive coaching and thought maybe a coach would be the answer. And I ended up being that coach and was hired for the engagement.
Well, obviously lucky for them, big win all around. But how did they actually find out about you, and how did they make that first contact to bring you into the organization?
Well, this, I guess you'd attribute it to networking, that the HR director knew me, knew of me through various organizations. And so once she got the green light to hire a coach, I was on her short list.
Had you had contact with them before? Was this just a mutual connection through your network?
I had never worked with this company. I'd never heard of it.
So was this an email landing in your inbox one day? Did they just give you a call? Jathan, we got to have you.
I think it was an email saying, hey, I'd like to talk to you about a possible coaching engagement. To which I hit the reply very quickly. yes, happy to talk to you. A conversation ensued. The HR director described the problem or the challenge or the desire on the part of the company. I then shared some of my experiences having coached and worked with abrasive executives before. And she then got with her leaders, and they thought it would be a good fit.
And how about, you know, I know you introduced stakeholder-centered coaching to them, and you may have been the very first. What did that conversation look like?
Well, I explained to her very briefly the stakeholder-centered coaching process and what I think are the key elements that distinguish it from other coaching methodologies. And I told her this would be the methodology that I'm going to use. And it seemed to resonate with her.
Were there apprehensions at the outset, or did they just say, oh, yeah, that works. That seems reasonable.
Well, not with the client officially, not with the HR director or the head of the organization. But yes, with regard to, let's just call her the coachee, the CFO, there absolutely were some apprehensions at the outset. No question about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Tell me about that.
Well, I think first there was some defensiveness. You know, why me? And there still is a perception that executive coaching is a form of disciplinary action, that it's really not done to better people and better the world. It's to basically, you know, give a corrective action to a problematic employee. And in these circumstances, you know, often the person starts with understandable defensiveness. You know, I'm being punished. Or denial. Why do I need a coach? Look at me. I'm a very successful CFO. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So often in these types of engagements, it can start out a little rocky. And this one was no exception.
You always sound very comfortable when we talk about navigating that apprehension and that defensiveness. Is there any special approach that you take or techniques that you use to help them sort of see the light that, you know, leadership is a function of people's willingness to follow me? Of course I should involve them. How do you get to that point?
Well, maybe it's innately some of my background as a former labor and employment law litigator who dealt with, you know, challenging workplace communications all the time. So for one thing, it doesn't intimidate me, frighten me, throw me off my game if I'm talking to a coachee or prospective coachee who doesn't seem happy with my existence.
I think that that's probably half the battle too, is just not being intimidated by it, like accepting it.
I think so. And not resisting it, not trying to fight it, not trying to overpersuade, not advocating, but breathing, breathing. Okay. And engaging with the person and listening to the person, asking questions, getting the person to talk. And pretty much inevitably, that person starts to relax, starts to be more comfortable with you, and shares something that you can use to show her that, in fact, she could win from this experience, not just the coach or the company or the HR director.
So we've reached a point that she's nervous about the whole stakeholder engagement, involvement, measurement piece. At a certain point, you get her to relax, take a breath, and say, this is going to be okay. What specifically were you able to point out to her about how she could win that turned that around for her?
Well, I like to talk about what I call the three realities, something I've written about in my Ask the Coach column. And those three realities are the reality of what we actually say or do, the reality of what we perceive we say or do, and the reality of what they perceive we say or do. And there are often gaps between all three of those realities. And if you accept that's just human reality, okay, then we can engage in closing the gaps. So what you actually say or do is what you perceive you say or do, and it's what they perceive you say or do. And I think that's actually one of the key insights of stakeholder-centered coaching. And so it's not that you are abrasive, you are arrogant, okay? You are this, and you need to change and not be this. It's an engagement on how do we get to where you're perceived as someone that isn't that way, and in fact is collaborative, is supportive. You know, what if everybody perceived you that way? What would life be like for you? What if you acquired a few basic skills that I can teach you, you convert them from theory to practice to habit, and then you use them at work and, like most people tell me, away from work as well, and you find that it really fundamentally changes the perception of you in a positive way? What if? What would that be like?
Love it. And you know, Jathan, I spend so much of my time doing trainings on this sort of thing. What you just gave for free is an absolute masterclass on this exact subject, which is something coaches generally struggle with anyway. So thank you for that. We have a leader, very intelligent, very high performing, a bit intimidating, brash, just abrasive to other people. She says, let's do it. What was your process for addressing the issues?
Well, essentially, I used the standard 5-step stakeholder-centered process and followed it.
Tell us, for those of, for our audience members who may not know the process, can you give us a brief overview?
Sure. Well, step one is essentially the 360 component, which I call the 331, meaning that the coach communicates directly with people that could potentially have insights into the coach, into the coachee, and are asked the following questions. What up to three areas would you say are the person's strength? What they bring to the table that's positive. What up to three areas do you think improvement would be beneficial? Now, if you identify more than one improvement area, which one do you recommend that I, as coach, focus on first? 3-3-1. These are done where the coach, and then we make it very clear, and the coachee, I basically coach on how to communicate this, makes it very clear that anything they share with me that they want to stay with me will stay with me. And indeed, in my engagement letter with the company, it also says, this is confidential information that the company cannot require me to disclose. So great emphasis on confidentiality, permission to speak freely. So that's step one.
Take us on to step two.
Step two is you take that information and then you sit down with the coachee and you come up with what you think is a good goal and what you think might be some specific behavioral steps that would help achieve the goal. And that, and then you also need the sponsor's approval, you know, in alignment with the sponsor, who might be the head of HR, who might be the company CEO. It depends. But generally speaking, I think you need a sponsor. So you end up with, and this is, it's translated into a worksheet, a goal with specific behaviors.
And do you, as the coach expert, are you the one that kind of crafts this from your own knowledge and expertise? Or how does this action plan come to be?
Well, in my case, and I tend to be a little more hands-on than other coaches, I listen, I learn, and then I try to suggest language. But I make it very clear, these are not my words. You have to own every comma, every punctuation point, every letter, every syllable, every sentence. And if there's anything that doesn't quite fit, let's change it. But I'll often take a kind of lead in putting together what I think, based on what I've learned, would be a good goal and what would be good initial action steps.
And then what happens?
Well, then the next step is enrolling stakeholders. And that means a subgroup of the 331 people. I mean, I've had as many as 40 331 people.
Oof.
Okay. This was a CEO who'd also won statewide election, you know, knew everybody. And I said, the more the merrier, because I can go through those 331s real quick. But of the 331s, generally speaking, I like 4 to 6 stakeholders. And what distinguishes them is, in addition to the 331 input they provided, they're now going to have an ongoing role in the process. The coachee is going to enroll them and basically say, here's my goal. I'm working with a coach. Here's my goal. Here's my action plan. I need your help. And that help comes in the following forms. Give me real-time input. If you see something that is a problem, let me know. If you see something that is working, let me know. Plus, every 30 days, I'm going to check in with you and ask you the following questions. How have I done in the past 30 days toward achieving my goal? And what suggestions do you have for me going forward? Marshall Goldsmith coined the term feed forward. things. And that's what you ask for. And that's what you do until you come to the mini survey.
Tell us about the mini survey.
The mini survey is confidential. It's done third party electronically. And it asks the stakeholders, the coachee, and the sponsor the following questions. Okay. On a numerical scale, +3, -3, how has the coachee done toward achieving his or her goal over the past, whatever the period of engagement has been, over the past 4 months, over the past 6 months, over the past 12 months? 0 means they didn't get better at it. They didn't get worse. +1, they got better. They still have room to grow. +2 is I'm impressed. +3 is OMG, they're the best ever. Okay. And it works in reverse. And the goal is to exceed a net 1. Okay. That's the mini survey. And then there's a place for comments. So it centers on the goal. It centers on their overall leadership, perception of their leadership. And then there's a provision for comments. Those are the same. There's some other things that are in it for research purposes. But those are the, in my experience, the key components.
Okay. So how long was this engagement? Because this sounds obviously time consuming, very long. How long were you working with this leader?
Well, and the last step is the after action review. I think the after action review came at about the 8 month period. And the after action review is where you think, okay, this has run its course. The person is ready to go off on their own. So let's do a debrief. Let's start with what was the goal? Okay. You know, was it achieved? What did we learn? And what are some key things to maintain momentum going forward? And that's essentially the after action review that's done, that under the system completes the engagement.
Okay. And how did it go? I mean, you worked with this leader for 8 months. You've applied the structured process. What kind of results did she get?
Well, not only did she hit it out of the park on the mini survey, I think it was a net 2.2, if I recall. She became an internal resource for people that were having difficult relationships or at work. She became a kind of internal coach of sorts. So that was the level now of trust in her. And she could then use some of the things she learned. The other thing that I loved about it was how she was taking these concepts and applying them at home, at her church, in various other ways. And she shared some wonderful examples, including how she changed her interactions with her sister, where they, you know, things tended to quickly get frosty between them, and how she used the listening technique that I taught her and she applied, and how it really kind of hit the reset in her relationship with her sister. And we're talking people in their 60s.
Amazing. I mean, it's the personal impact alone is so profound. It becomes a no-brainer to do it. But what a gift you give the organization who has a very senior leader who has some pretty terminal issues. And not only did you help her fix those issues, but now she's the one helping others. So this is a gift that just keeps on paying. Is there any particular skills or techniques you would attribute such over and above success to?
But one of the things I do a lot of, maybe more than any other coach, I don't know. I rely on role plays. I do repeated role plays with my coachees. Also, if I'm doing group coaching, that group is going to engage in a whole bunch of role plays. I'm a fervent believer that to move from theory or concept to practice ultimately to have it. And that's where the victory occurs, when these new things become habit. In my view, role plays are a necessary component of that progress, of that achievement.
It's something that you definitely do more than anyone else I personally know of what they're doing. But it has such continuous, predictable, and measurable impact that I think it's worth taking some time talking about. So, you know, myself, our audience, tell us a little bit about the role plays you do, maybe the processes. What can you share with us about these role plays?
Okay. Well, and by the way, I'll let you know, I did an Ask the Coach column, a recent one on this topic. So for those that would like to learn more, please go to the SCC website and the Ask the Coach page.
Mm-hmm. Those can be found at kb.mgscc.net. On the right side, you'll see a column for Ask the Coach, which is all run by Jathan. He is the coach when you ask.
Cool. So, and as I talk about in the article, I never, ever, ever assume that cognition translates into behavior. But I do assume that in the mind of the person trying it, they think cognition has translated into behavior. And I've got to disabuse them of that notion. And there's no better way than role plays. So, for example, let's say I'm coaching you, Brent, and I teach you my no fear conversation technique on how to initiate a difficult conversation. And I share with you the elements. And then I ask you, you know, do you got it down? And, oh, yeah, Jathan, this is pretty simple. I got this down. You know, I'm ready for action. So you go off and you employ the technique, or, you know, to your belief, employ the technique. And the conversation doesn't go the happy way you thought it would. Okay. Instead, it turns out to be yet another nasty, negative confrontation. And you're going, well, I guess this no fear thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, what a bum steer. He sold me snake oil, that Janov, right? So I say, well, Brandon, let's come back, and I want you to paint the picture. What exactly happened? What was the issue? Okay. What exactly did you say to open things up? That's the frame. What was your first open-ended question? That's the E of the ear method. Okay, and then tell me what happened specifically. And only 100% of the time, you know, unwittingly, you screwed up. You didn't follow it. Okay, something went sideways and you weren't aware. All you were aware of was you got a negative reaction. And then you quickly defaulted to your fight, flight, freeze way of dealing with these kinds of things. And so that's why you weren't happy it didn't quite work. So we spend time, including beforehand, to minimize the likelihood of it, but sometimes we also do that post-mortem, so that you have the aha moment where you go, oh, yeah. Oh, I see what I did. Oh, I got it now. So then I say, all right, now we're going to role play. Brandon, you're going to play you, and I'm going to play that other person that you're about to have this difficult conversation with. And then if you're struggling, we may flip the role play. And I say, Brandon, I'm going to play you, and you play that person as you think they might play, you know, where you think they might, it might go sideways, it might be difficult. They might throw you a curveball that you don't know what to do with. Go ahead, play it however you want. Now I'm going to play you. And then, you know, because I've only done a million of these things, I tend to, you know, you get the aha moment, like, wow, I could see how that would work. Okay, but I don't leave it at there. I say, now we're going to switch back and you're going to be you and I'm going to be the employee. Okay, just because you saw me do it in a way that in your mind says, oh, yeah, I could see how this would really work. Even in the worst situations, I don't want you to think that that means you're, you know, you're ready for prime time. I want you to do it, and I'm going to be playing the, you know, the difficult. I'm going to throw you a curveball as that person. So it's getting you to the point that you're really ready. Okay? That's
role
play.
Can we try one here?
Sure.
Can we just give that a go?
I'm game.
Okay, so I'm applying no fear in a conversation with an employee. Do you want to make up a scenario?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you an easy scenario.
Yeah.
So that you may just nail and I'll just applaud. Okay. And for those of you who are interested, I've written about the no fear technique in the Ask the Coach column. So if you're curious about it. So I'm not going to elaborate it now, but you can read it and you'll get all the elements. All right. So I'm assuming Brandon already has the basic elements because he edits my columns, among other reasons. So we'll find out. All right. We're just going to take something real easy, real simple. Okay. You manage an employee whose shift begins at 8 a.m. This is a fairly new employee. Okay. Wednesday, he walks in the door at 8:10. Right? Now apply the no fear technique.
Okay. So I'm going to frame.
I'll be that employee. I'm Jathan, and I'm your employee. I'm the new guy, and you know, I've just walked through the door. It's 8:10. My shift begins at 8. And you're now going to apply the no fear. Yeah. Frame.
Frame, explore, F-E-A, acknowledge, and respond. So, Jathan, I wanted to have a conversation with you because I observed that on Wednesday, you arrived at 8:10 and your shift should start at 8. I don't want to make any assumptions, so I figured I'd ask, you know, what happened?
Okay. Good, but too wordy. The frame needs to be as tight as possible because this is a listening-based and learning-based approach on your part. So we're role-playing. I'm going to say you checked the boxes, Brandon. Now I want you to say it with maybe a half or third of the number of words you use.
Jathan, I noted that you arrived on Wednesday at 8:10 a.m. and your shift starts at 8. What happened? Did we nail it?
You nailed it.
Okay, good. And you're going to start coming on time for the rest of, for all of perpetuity, correct?
No, now you blew it.
Oh,
you would never, ever ask a question like that. Now you blew the rest of the ear. Okay. So I say, sorry. I didn't know that 8 o'clock, I knew it was like a target, but I didn't know it was like an absolute. Okay, explore, acknowledge, respond. You're now going to ask me an open-ended question, a curiosity-based question. Jathan?
All I can come up with right now is who gave you your onboarding materials?
You're on the right track, but that's not the question.
Because I'm not looking for the answer, right? I'm not trying to solve. I'm just
exploring.
Keep
it simple.
Okay.
More open-ended. So I just gave you an explanation.
I got it.
That my understanding was 8 is like an aspirational thing, not an absolute requirement thing.
What led you to think that way?
Bingo.
Okay.
You're good, my friend. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I don't know. I just talked to some people and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now you go to the A. What's your A?
I acknowledge that. I appreciate that you've taken the time to speak with people. Nope.
Don't ever say I appreciate the time. That's another one commonly they do when I say stop. Don't appreciate.
Okay.
Stay in the system. You want to now, the acknowledge is, you're seeking my acknowledgement that you understand me.
Got it. Okay. So.
Okay. So you're now going to reframe what I just said, tighter, shorter, and say, Jathan, okay, let me make sure I understand, is this why you thought this was aspirational but not a requirement and thus came in at 810?
Okay, so you've spoken with people, and as I understand, that's why you felt it acceptable to come in at 810. Is that correct?
Yes. Now you're ready for your response. And what's your response?
I would probably say, do we have an understanding that 8 o'clock is the starting time?
No. You know, this is respond means you now can use a sentence that ends in a period versus a question mark. This is the time to end with a period.
I understand. Moving forward, I'd like you to be present at 8 a.m.
Well, premature. I just remember what you've just heard is my blah, blah, blah about why 8 isn't a requirement. It's an aspiration. You've then confirmed with me my understanding. Mm-hmm. Now, what you want to make clear is to explain that is a mistaken understanding. Not that it's his fault, but you want to clarify what the expectation is going forward. Then you can ask your question.
Okay.
So start with you want me to understand now, because it's your turn, respond, that what I've been thinking ain't the case. So how would you do that?
Can I jump straight to the negation that you know, around here, we start at 8 o'clock?
Yeah. I mean, I might suggest you explain why, you know, in order for us to serve our, you know, I might just, if I'm coaching you ahead of time, say, well, one of the things is part of our commitment to customer service. We need all of our customer service representatives here and ready to go, handling client calls, client emails at 8 a.m. So it's really not an aspirational thing, Jathan. It's really a requirement. Okay. And now you can ask a question in kind of reverse. Okay. Have I made myself clear? Is that understood? In other words, I think that's a good time for a question. Or you could do an open-ended, you know, what do you think? Because one of the things you want to find out is this going to be a perpetual problem? If so, the sooner you get rid of it, the better. So I'll be okay. Yeah.
I could say, do you have any questions? Do you have any other questions about why it's expected that we are present at 8 a.m.?
You could. But if you think Jathan is ready to make a commitment, which is a great goal of this conversation, you might say something more narrow, like, you know, and I haven't made it clear, and can I now count on you? A yes or no question. And if I say, yes, boss, I get it. You can count on me being here at 8. Then you can wrap this up in a nice way, which would be to say what?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like I'll what Frank Wagner always says to us. And for when you get feed for, just thanks. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Yeah. And you're done.
Yeah.
And the odds are you start seeing him at 8 o'clock versus going nuts over the fact that, okay, comes in at 8 and then he's 8:15 and so on. So you start to see the results as a coachee of what the no fear technique does for you. So in that role play, you learn, first of all, that cognition doesn't automatically result in you doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So there's a little humility learned on your part, okay? But you're now practicing, you're now working, and then when you get it right, you see the impact it has, and you say, you know what? I like this much better than whatever the heck it was I used to do. Because one of the things I say to people that with the no fear, for example, is once you get this down, you will never go back to whatever the heck it was you did in the past. You just won't. And no matter what the problem is, you're going to use the no fear technique once you get it down.
I think what's maybe where that fear comes from on the management side is having to deal with the objections in real time. And if you are like this leader and you default to an abrasive style, it becomes combative or it becomes antagonistic or, you know, why in the world would you think that? Or why would you think talking to people is the right way to do it? You know, but this is so simple. So just so I'm clear, simple sentence, as short as possible. I want to talk. I noticed you came in at 8:10, starting time is 8 o'clock. What happened? Nice and open-ended. Whatever they respond to, I'm exploring. So what led you to think of that? Whatever they say, I don't have to manage it. I don't have to tell them they're wrong. I just have to repackage it and say, this is, you know, is that why I understand that this is how you got to that conclusion? Whatever. And then at the end, it's just confirming, like, do you understand now that, or the final respond is where you're going to wrap up the benefit for the rule, I suppose.
Well, the respond is where you're going to, you know, state your position.
And why? That was what I was missing was.
Yeah. And why, preferably not just the what, but the why. And then you seek the confirmation.
I can absolutely see how a leader who is just intellectually operating perhaps beyond their peers would use this to completely shave off the rough edges. That's incredible.
Well, and I call it the no fear deliberately. Not only does it stand for F-E-A-R, frame, explore, acknowledge, respond, I say if you get this technique down, you will never again in your life fear one of those conversations that used to cause you great anxiety, because you know that whatever happens, you're going to be comfortable. It's going to work, whatever it is. No matter which way it goes, if you stay in the no fear frame, okay, and you get it down, okay, those conversations that typically need to happen sooner and typically don't because of what you say, Brandon, that fear of how it's going to go, so they're ignored or left alone or dealt with passive aggressively or fester. And then when you finally have to deal with them, sure enough, it's Armageddon. Okay. I mean, that's how I made a living, frankly, as a labor and employment law litigator.
Of course.
It was avoidance of conversations that needed to happen. The no fear technique also means you'll never feel that, oh, maybe I'll deal with it tomorrow. Because you'll just be comfortable and confident going in.
I can tell you that if I'm listening to this episode now, the first thing I'm thinking is, oh, Jathan's an expert. I wonder how he'd handle some more friction between the A and the R, maybe even as early as the E. So can we switch roles and I'm going to be the tardy employee and you be the boss.
Fine.
Okay. I'm going to make it a little rough, but I've got confidence in you, Jathan. Okay.
Well, you know, like I say, I've done this a time or two. All right. So you're the new employee and I'm the manager, the supervisor, right? Hey, Brandon, I just noticed you just came in the door at 8:10. And your shift begins at 8. What happened?
I didn't set my alarm and my kid was sick and I stepped on gum on the way in. And, you know, frankly, I just didn't think it was that important to be here, you know, right on time. I'm going to get my work done anyway.
Well, let me explore that a little bit. You say you don't think it's that important. What's your basis for saying that?
Oh, dang. Well, I'm going to get my work done. Whether my work is done on Wednesday at 8 a.m. or it's done Friday at 6 p.m. doesn't make a difference to the team who I'm handing this off to, nor to the customer who's the end user. So, you know, what does it really matter? You told me that this is we're a very loose, as long as we're all performing at our best type of culture.
Well, what's your understanding as to why we've explained that we want you here at 8?
You know, what was really scary for me just now, Jathan, was I saw you take a breath. What's your understanding? I thought, oh, I'm in trouble now. You know, it was positioned as this is what time people start heading into the office. So I assumed moseying in around 8:10 wouldn't be a problem. It seems like you're pretty flustered about this, though.
Yeah, well, let me, before explaining my position, I want to make sure I understand. So you had some things that got in the way of getting here at 8, but felt it wasn't that important based on an understanding you had formed, okay, in your 3 days of employment at our company, okay, right or wrong. That was your understanding, correct? Okay, well, this is on me because I need to be clear as your supervisor on what the expectations are. So allow me to clarify. Blah, 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 blah. And then I re-engage in the ear. So amazing. What are your thoughts, Brandon, on what I just said?
Oh, man, I have chosen a boss, not a job, Jathan. That was unbelievable. Another masterclass. You know, as I'm in my role, I don't feel apprehension. I feel heard. I don't feel aggression. You know, the way that you've stopped and taken a breath is so simple, but so powerful. But at no point did I feel like I was told I was wrong. I felt like you shouldered the burden of that. And I felt, I felt redirected sort of like a planet in orbit, right? You're not told exactly where to go, but you've got a pretty strong sense and you can course correct to get back on track. It felt good. And it felt like I was given a better target to hit the goal next time.
Yeah. I mean, my goal is not to discipline. In fact, I hate the HR audiences here all the time about how I hate the existing ways people handle workplace discipline. I'd throw it all out completely, but that's maybe a topic for another conversation. But here, my goal isn't to punish you or to frighten you or to scare you. My goal is to see if you're capable of making a commitment to take ownership of being here on time. And I want to do whatever I can that maximizes the likelihood that in your mind, internally, you say, okay, I want this job, I want to stay here, and I'm going to make a commitment to be here at 8. That's success. It's not that I told you and instructed you. It's not anything that I told you. It's that the outcome of this conversation was your commitment and your ownership of responsibility. And that's the way that I get to it if it's capable of happening. And then if not, I learn that you're not the right fit. Okay.
Could you share what you do to follow up after this? Because I'm such a fan of your same day summary concept, but how do you create a paper trail of this conversation so that there's no need for discipline moving forward?
Well, if in this particular case, I don't know that I would do a same day summary. Oh, and by the way, folks, again, go to Ask the Coach. I've got a column on the same day summary. So I'm not going to elaborate the elements. So I would probably, if your response ended up being constructive, hey, I own this. And it's a pretty clear, we know whether or not it's 8:00. And we know when you come in. I might not do a same day summary. Okay, but if I were to do a same day summary, I would conclude the conversation with you with a statement that, hey, just to keep us on the same page, I'm going to send you a short summary of what I think the key takeaways are on the conversation we just had. Okay?
Done.
Okay. Done. You'd say okay. I don't know any. I've never had somebody not say okay. Okay. So then, I let's say it's an email to Brandon from Jathan, today's date, Ray, summary of today's conversation. Not, you know, you were late. Summary of today's conversation. Brandon, here's my summary key takeaways. Please let me know if I missed or misstated anything. Bullet point, we discussed the fact that you came in today at 8 when your shift is scheduled. Or you came in today at 8:10 when your shift is scheduled for 8. You made a commitment. You explained that you hadn't understood it as a fixed requirement, but more as an aspirational thing, but then acknowledged that really it is important to be, that all customer service people be here by 8, ready to serve customers. and made a commitment to being here at that time. Okay. I appreciate your response. Thank you. Best, Jason. That would be a same day summary.
And so these are some of the skills that you trained this leader on, and she's not only putting them into practice, she's now teaching people internally how to do this effectively.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if we ever got to the level of she's teaching others the same day summary. That has happened in other cases. In this particular case, I don't know. I do know in other coaching engagements, yes, the same day summary, the CEO has taught the same day summary to his or her reports with the understanding that they're now going to do this with their reports. And that's where some of the group training and group coaching has come in. Because I'll give them a scenario, we'll do a role play, and everybody in the room will do what they think the same day summary is if they were the boss in the scenario.
This is fantastic, Jathan. I'm thinking about our listeners going through this, hearing that role plays really can be the difference maker. This is a great case to demonstrate that. Are there any other big takeaways or pieces of advice that you'd give the audience based on this engagement?
The number one thing I'd say is that if you're in a leadership position, no matter how successful you are, there's room to grow. There's room to step up your game. It'll benefit you and it'll benefit everybody you care about. That would be my message.
Well, if people want to read more about what you're talking about, they can find more of it on the on your SHRM bio page. You can go to Ask the Coach, kb.mgscc.net. You'll find a section for Ask the Coach, and we'll also drop that in the description below. How can people get in touch with you, follow your story, or just generally, you know, network with such a great coach as yourself?
Well, another area, and there's materials and resources on my website, which is jathanjanov.com. And they can reach me through that at info@jathanjanov.com.
Today's session with Jathan Janov revealed the profound impact of coaching on transforming leadership communications. Through targeted strategies and practical techniques such as role plays, Jathan helped the CFO redefine her leadership presence, fostering a more collaborative and positive workplace culture. Inspired by today's discussions, we hope you're encouraged to explore the impact of effective communication in your leadership journey. Remember, all the case studies of the season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. That's mgscc.net/case-studies. The link is also in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. That's mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder Center Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining this conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.